Genesis chapter 20, chapter number 20, as we get our Bibles prepared to bring a close to this powerful chapter in the Word of God. Let's look at verse number 10. And Abimelech said unto Abraham, what sawest thou that thou hast done this thing? And Abraham said, because I thought, surely the fear of God is not in this place, and they will slay me for my wife's sake. And yet indeed she is my sister. She is the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother. She became my wife. And it came to pass, when God caused me to wander from my father's house, that I said unto her, this is thy kindness which thou shalt show unto me. At every place whither we shall come, say of me, he is my brother. And Abimelech took sheep and oxen and men servants and women servants and gave them unto Abraham and restored him Sarah his wife. And Abimelech said, behold, my land is before thee. Dwell where it pleaseth thee. And unto Sarah he said, behold, I have given thy brother 1,000 pieces of silver. Behold, he is to thee a covering of thy eyes. And all that are with thee, and with all other. And thus she was reproved. So Abraham prayed unto God. And God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maidservants. And they bare children. For the Lord had fast closed up all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. Let the church say amen. Our Father, we pray that you add thy blessing to the reading of your word. Cleanse me of sin. Empty me of self. And fill me with your spirit. Help me to be a blessing. And I pray, God, that you will help us to glean from your word. And help us to realize that in these last days, you're looking for some children of God who will just make up their minds to do right. Help us, Lord. We love you and thank you for being God. In Jesus' name and for his sake we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. We've entitled this section here of chapter 20 the last several weeks, you should have learned the last time. This is an admonition contextually of repeat offenses. I feel confident tonight that every believer in the building tonight is a repeat offender. Now, if you need clarification with those terms, let me just tell you that you are guilty of making the same mistake more than once. But not because of ignorance. Not because you don't know better. Not because you haven't been told. Not because you haven't been taught. But for one reason, you were taught, but you didn't learn. Now Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. That's a farming term. The yoke was an instrument that you'd put two animals in. An experienced animal would be alongside an inexperienced animal. And the inexperienced animal would be linked in with the experienced animal so that the experienced animal could lead the inexperienced animal the right way. But the only way someone that didn't know what he was doing could go the right direction would be to yoke up with someone who did know what he was doing. So when Jesus is saying, take my yoke upon you, he's saying, as the yoked fella yokes up with the ox that knows where he's going, so that they can both go the right direction while one follows the leadership of another. He said the Christian life is about a Christian getting in the yoke with Jesus. By the way, just because you're saved don't mean you know everything. Just because you're saved doesn't mean you're a spiritual genius. Just because you're saved doesn't mean you have it figured all out. By the way, a lost person can be smarter than a saved person. But an uneducated Christian can live a successful life, not because he's intellectual, but because he's made up his mind, he's going to yoke up with Jesus Christ. And when you got saved, you're supposed to yoke up with him. He's trying to teach us. Christian life is a schooling life. And sometimes we're just not We're just not willing to learn. And Abraham is in that situation. He's visited this mistake before. It didn't turn out well. It didn't bode profitably for him. And yet, he's in a similar circumstance and makes the same wrong decision. We're looking in our Bible saying, Abraham, it didn't work last time, why are you trying it again? And the Holy Ghost of God is looking into Crossroads Baptist Church and saying, church member, Christian, husband, wife, child, ministry leader, choir member, same person. It didn't work last time. You should have learned better. The developing process, he's journeying. And the Christian life will take you on a journey. Sometimes that journey will have you in familiar territory, and sometimes that journey will have you in contentious territory. But the question is not who you're around. The question is who you're walking with. Because sometimes even when you're around people who don't have your best interests at heart, as long as you're leaning on God, you can make it. That's no excuse for walking in areas where you shouldn't belong. But it is a support to know that when we are living in contentious territory, and by the way, the world is often contentious territory. They don't understand our God. They don't understand our Bible. They don't understand our convictions. And by the way, don't you ever let somebody not understanding your conviction give you a reason not to live by them. Too many Christian people say, well, nobody understands what I do, so I decided not to do it. You live for God, not live for people's logic. The disappointing problem is Abraham could not balance right with what he was facing. He walked into a situation, hear me now, and doing right made less sense than lying. Hear me now. You will be in a situation in life where lying makes more sense physically, emotionally, circumstantially than telling the truth. But we don't do what we do because it makes circumstantial sense. We do what we do because it's right. Disappointing problem is he didn't. The disgraceful product is his wife got taken. He was a defrauded servant and he was placed in a defenseless situation. Doing wrong always costs you. Look up here. James chapter 1. Every man sins when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived. Amen. I said when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. Sin when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Listen to me. Sin always has a consequence. Something dies. Something's lost. Something's taken. A promise is forfeited. A blessing is nullified. An opportunity to impact people is lost. By the way, and just because it doesn't happen immediately doesn't mean it's not coming. It'll catch up to you. Well, I've gotten away with it. I'm in the clear. That sin was so long ago and it doesn't seem like anything's happened as a result of it. So I must have gotten away with it. Let me tell you something. You can get away with it with the preacher. You can get away with it with your parents. You can get away with it with your peers. But you can never get away with sin with Almighty God. And so Abimelech takes her. Abraham can't do anything about it till God gets involved. And the Bible says God, verse 3, came to him, stopped him, warned him, caused him to withhold, showed him his will, gave him his word. When an ignorant man was about to make a decision to ruin his life, God showed up. Amen. And thank God that he's kept us from some crazy decisions. Somebody say amen. Thank God when we're about ready. I mean, sign that contract, close that deal, say I do, move to that place, turn down that path, make that wrong decision, jump into that scenario. Thank God in the 11th hour, in the nick of time, just when we were about to go wrong. Thank God, not because of us, but in spite of us, he showed up and spared us from ourselves. Don't touch her. She's not yours. Don't touch her. She's not yours. Don't touch her. She's not yours. God, I wouldn't have taken her if I thought she was married. Yeah, I know. That's why I didn't let you touch her. There's a good principle there. Now watch this now. God restricted Abimelech from doing what Abimelech could do because he knew Abimelech didn't know better.
Yeah.
And so I hear Christian people say all the time, I don't know why God keeps letting me do it, because he told you not to. And yet he seemed like he'd look out for people that are doing worse than I am. Yeah, because they don't know any better. Come on now, there's good teaching here. There's good don't you go out there in the world tonight and just say, I'm just going to live freely because I know God ain't going to let me do nothing crazy. Oh, let me tell you something. He's not going to stop you from doing something crazy sometime when he's taught you how not to do something crazy. Amen. Amen. Sometimes God lets you go. And he lets you go places he don't want you to go. And he lets you do things he doesn't want you to do. Why? Because he gave you a Bible. Amen. And he gave you a pastor. Amen. And he gave you some parents. And he gave you a spouse. And he gave you some godly influences. And he gave you a good place where you could hear about the truth. And you walk past the guidance of God. Now watch this now. God didn't stop Abimelech. God stopped Abimelech from touching Sarah. But he didn't stop Abraham from lying. Somebody help the pastor preach. There's a lot of Christian people, God letting you do nonsense because you know better. Amen. And he's stopping ignorant people from doing nonsense because they don't know better. Amen. Amen. I'm telling you what, you might want to leave this church if you're not interested in living right. Pastor, what are you saying? I'm just simply saying the longer you sit here, the more you're accountable for. Preach, Pastor. I mean, it's good to be in a good church. I mean, when somebody in your family passes away, you want to have a family to stand behind you. Amen. You want to be walking in on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, know that you're burdened and you're worn down, and know that the people of God are gathered around and put their arm around you and stand with you in your time of need. When you go to the hospital, they'll visit you. When you're away, they'll pray for you. When you're burdened, they'll be there for you. When your children have needs, they'll stand up for you. By the way, those are all the perks and blessings of being in a good church. But it's not just perks and blessings. There's some responsibility. You here three times a week. You know about holy living. You know about righteousness. You know about tithing. You know about soul winning. You know about modesty. You know about purity. And God expects you as a member of Crossroads Baptist Church to go out and live right and not expect him to stop you from doing when he's taught you how not to do it. That's why, watch this. I didn't plan to say this, but I'm going to say it. That's why people who have been in good churches and under good influences seem to fall so much further than people living in worse sin. Come on. Because God said you were too high in the truth to walk away from it and expect me to stop you from falling so low. Be careful. Be careful, dignified, signified, sanctified, sanctimonious, pharisaical member of Crossroads Baptist Church. Praise God. I wouldn't want to be anywhere else. But you better step up your Christian game. Because unto whom much is given, much shall be required. So he finds out she's Abraham's wife, and she's you got her. And you don't have no business having somebody else's wife. Yeah, amen. So he gets up and hears what God tells him, and he directly protests to Abraham. Divine providence, direct protest. Come here. What hast thou done unto us? When you set me up. I can't believe you told me that was your sister when that was your wife. I took her, and now I'm about ready to die over your lie. shame on you. What saw is that? Why is that done this thing? We said last week that the lost man had more sense than the saved man. Amen. And by the way, not only did he have more sense, he had more obedience. You know what I'm finding out? Some Christians get saved longer and less obedient. I mean, let me tell you something. I can find a lost man off the street somewhere, bring him in Crossroads Baptist Church, and there are chances that lost man have more reverence doing prayer and preaching than some saved people because he ain't got used to it yet. Amen. You take a lost man in here and try to tap him doing prayer, he elbow you in the side. Oh man, I don't mess around doing prayer. You get saved about 5 years, that's time to do everything. God said, Abimelech, go get him. Got him. What are you doing, man? I'm not even saved. I know better than this. Tonight, I want you to write down beyond this direct protest, this personal confrontation, this perceptive complaint. Wow. Wow. This passionate conviction. He was pricked in his heart about doing something wrong, and he wasn't even a Christian. I want you to notice tonight, write down if you're taking notes, Abraham's deflecting plea. I want you to notice the Christian's response to a lost man's confrontation. Pastor, give me a good litmus test as to whether I'm walking with God. Can I give you one tonight? There's a number of them we could give you. But here's a good litmus test to whether or not you're walking with God. How you respond to correction. And here's one of my pet peeves. I don't like to spend a lot of time debating with an individual about an issue he already knows he was wrong about. We shouldn't have a long discussion about details and what had happened and round the corner and through the block and over the mulberry bush. Amen. Come on now. This is what Abraham's doing. Why'd you do this to me? Now listen to this nonsense. This is deflection. This is deflection. Say, Pastor, what's deflection? It's called passing the buck. What happened was. Okay. Why? Listen to this simple, direct question of Abimelech. Verse 10. What sawest thou that thou hast done this thing? I mean, come on now, let me break it down. Abraham, why did you do that? Why did you say this was your sister? Listen to Abimelech's answer. Because I thought that surely the fear of God is not in this place, and they will slay me for my wife's sake. You hear this now? Getting spiritual now. And that's a classic Christian approach to avoiding taking blame using spiritual terminology. I lied to you because you're not close enough to God to handle the truth. I didn't really want to lie. That's not in my character. But if I had really done what I was supposed to do, you don't have enough spiritual fortitude. You don't fear God enough to be able to handle my righteousness. Anybody listening to me tonight? Some of you are going, I can't believe Abraham could say something like that. That's just absurd. Yes, like you saying, I didn't give her a tract because she appeared to be a Muslim. What that got to do with obeying God? Here's what you're saying. I didn't obey God and be a witness because you give the appearance that if I obeyed God, you wouldn't respond properly to my spiritual obedience. Let me tell you something. It's not my job to control the consequences. It's my job to obey with my conduct. Are you listening to me now? I've got to do right because God said do right and let the consequences belong to God. I didn't tithe because if I had, it would have put me in a situation where I wouldn't have been able to explain myself. Wait a minute now. What did that got to do with obedience? Now, wait a minute. Be careful before we start putting our finger at Abraham. This is blame shifting. Shame. Shame on Abraham. It's what I call blame shifting exhibition. The fear of God's not in this place. They will slay me for my wife's sake. Listen, there are too many Christians in 2018 who have made up their mind biblical Christianity is not culturally convenient. Are you listening to me? I do it, but they don't sell it in the stores. I do it, but all of the other kids are going to make fun of my children. Huh? I do it, but I'm not going to have any friends. Do you believe God is able? Blame shifting exhibition. And then write down, I have here a bogus explanation. I mean, after all, King, technically, you hear me now? Technically, she is my sister. I mean, she's in my daddy's family, but she's not in my mama's family. So if you're really being honest, I didn't completely lie. I just half lied, which is the equivalent to a whole lie. What's wrong with it? I messed up. I was wrong. See, that's the problem with lying. You got to keep lying. And not only you got to keep lying, you got to defend your lies. And it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing when you have to answer for your character to a lost person. I can't believe you got that song on in this car. I don't listen to this. I knew you were coming in here, and it would make you more comfortable. If I played the regular music I normally listen to, that would kind of make you feel uncomfortable. So I'm not really sinning. I'm just adjusting to fit the circumstance, a.k.a. sinning. Folks, we got to quit twisting things. Is anybody listening to me? And listen, the world is a setup for compromise.
Amen.
While I'm thinking about it, political correctness is a setup for compromise. Listen to me. I'm not trying to be critical and I'm not trying to be absurd, but you better have more than legality as a reason for you to make a certain action. Amen. There are a lot of things that are legal that are sinful.
Amen.
Abortion is legal. It's sinful.
Amen.
Drinking alcohol is legal. It's sinful.
Amen.
You can buy cigarettes and not go to jail.
Amen.
But you're going to have to handle something with God about it.
Amen.
Anybody listening to me?
Amen.
It is socially accepted to use profanity. It's disgusting to God.
Amen.
Come on now. Watch it, men. Watch it, boys. Watch it, girls. There's a whole lot of stuff that the world is branding. And by the way, there's stuff that churches are branding right. And I don't care if it's a church and if he's a preacher, if he's saying something that doesn't line up with the Bible, he's wrong. A whole lot of bunch of nonsense out there, people trying to put God's name on. Let's stop quoting God. She really is kind of, sort of. He's backpedaling. And it's hard to get an unrepentant child of God to accept blame. That's how you know if you really repented. If you got it right, you're not making excuses. I know I shouldn't do it, but I didn't have no choice. You always have a choice. Come on, listen to me. I said, you always have a choice. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, unless there are mitigating circumstances that cause great fear and dire consequences, it is sin. Is that what God said? I've never known a spiritually growing Christian who was not teachable and could not handle correction. I've known some gifted Christians, talented, gifted, blessed, but not growing. Because you're not going to get close enough to God without getting confronted about your own sin. Amen. Amen. And you listen, I don't care how sincere you are. You're going to run into situations where somebody that loves you and knows God is going to tell you about yourself and how you handle that. Rebuke a wise man, he'll love thee. Reprove a scorner, he'll hate thee. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. You're not a good Christian by how loud you shout. You're a good Christian by how you respond to biblical preaching. Don't get quiet. And by the way, you don't necessarily have to come to this altar, but you better come to God. And it's a good thing to come to the altar. It's a good thing to respond to preaching. It's a good thing to get right. Deflection. Write down number, the next one, if you would, number 7, I believe. There's a delightful pardon here. By the way, verse 13. When God caused me to wander from my father's house, this is part of this bogus explanation. I said unto her, this is thy kindness which thou shalt show unto me. At every place whither we shall come, say of me, he is my brother. I forgot to mention this, but this is part of this bogus explanation. Abraham says, now I want you to know, Abimelech, that this thing that I told you about my wife, we didn't just come up with this. This has been planned way back. When we first left home, we made a deal that when we go places, you say you're my sister, this is what we're going to do. So I'm not changing up right now. This, watch this now. Sin is okay as long as you schedule it in advance. See, as long as you don't look like you were caught off guard, and as long as your reflex wasn't a sin, as long as you didn't sin in the moment without thinking, God, if you think it through, plan it, sign the waiting list, take a buzzer, zzz, go up to the front and be seated at the table, as opposed to just breaking in without a reservation, God forgives you. Because if you plan your sin out in advance, it means it's well thought through, and thereby exonerated. This is nonsense. When you're wrong, say you're wrong and own it. I was wrong. Be careful, husbands and wives. That's a good way to a seared conscience. Amen. Rationalization leads you to desensitization. Desensitization. Excuse me. Forgot a syllable in there, desensitization. You know, do anybody understand what I'm saying? Do it long enough, it won't bother you no more. Honey, what are you looking at? I'm not looking at her. I'm looking at the television. She just walked in front of it. You're lying. Come on now. And you keep lying about it, won't bother you anymore. Are you listening to me? Children, own it. What did you do that for? Well, I did that because I had. No, you didn't have to. You chose to. Amen. Honor God. I know people who have become faithful God robbers. Because when they started it, they excused it. I ain't going to do it. I ain't going to do it every week. I just doing it. I had to. Now if they give, then Jesus might be coming back, because they have learned to excuse their sin. Listen to me. David did it for 9 months. He had no joy. Pastor, I just think you're being too harsh. Listen to me. The longer you take to admit you're wrong, the longer you're going to have to deal with the consequences of your wrong. And then you keep doing it. So here comes God getting it right, pardon. Abundant restoration. Look at what Abimelech does. Took sheep, oxen, men servants, women servants, gave them unto Abraham. Abundant restoration. Restored him, Sarah, his wife. Let's get this thing right. There's a problem between you and me, because you lied and I got your wife. I don't like things this way. My mama says all the time, she says all the time, nothing is, that's left alone gets right. You got to deal with it. Listen, the human instinct is the further we get away from it, it's going to correct itself. That's no wiser than if I push the stuff underneath the bed, it means the room's clean. It's not clean, it's just hidden by a bed. And eventually you're going to move that bed. You're living a lie. Sometime or another, you got to get down on your knees, get underneath that bed and get that mess out of there so you can actually enjoy a clean room. Now what needs to be restored? What needs to be made right? Here he says, can I take this? Take men servants, take sheep, abundance. You know why? Abimelech was serious about getting it right. He gave him his wife back. He didn't just cry over the conviction of the message. He did something about it. You ever been convicted about something and didn't change it? Come on, tell it to me. Oh, Lord, I'm so sorry. God, that was... Pastor? I can't tell you how many times I hear this. Pastor, if I didn't know it, I thought you had earphones in my house. That message you preached had my name written all over it. Praise the Lord. But by Sunday, don't still have your name written all over it. We ought to be careful if we rate spirituality by who goes to the altar. I think it's good to come to the altar. Some people praying this. I think it's good to come to the altar. I think that there's something that happens spiritually when we move physically. I just think that it moves together. Some people don't come. Some people praying to see. And I'm for all of it. But I'm just simply saying we better be careful that we rate spirituality by coming to the altar, because some people coming for the same thing. And coming every service for the same sin is not spiritual. If you come tonight and you come back Sunday, that's wonderful. Just don't come both times for the same thing. Amen. Your wife's back. Why? How God told me I was going to die. You remember that? In a dream, God showed up and said, you a dead man. You got somebody else's wife. Can you imagine Abimelech in the middle of the night? Oh my goodness, I'm about to die. This woman in here ain't even my wife. That man lied to me. Let me tell you something. You know what? As quick as he could, he'd get that woman out of there and get her back to her husband as fast as he could. I ain't trying to die. You know, I've heard people, oh my goodness, God shook me up and convicted me. I don't ever want to be in that situation again. And then about 5 months pass, they're right back in it.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, I ain't never do that again. That's the worst I ever been in my, that's the worst feeling I ever felt when I was far away from God. Who in the world wants the worst feeling they ever felt again and again? Appropriate reconciliation. This land's before you. All that's here is yours. We're getting this thing right. We are going to remove this ought between us. By the way, while I'm thinking about it, if you have ought with somebody, it ain't gonna fix itself. One of the most discouraging things to witness in the ministry is ought between people. And I'll tell you what's even more difficult to witness: how much ought exists within families. Life's too short to be carrying grudges.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You don't have to agree with it. It's still true. And I can't tell how many people have come to funerals with regrets because the person died before they got right with them. If you're not right with somebody in the church, get right. You're not right with a family member, get right. Well, they don't want to get right with me. What's that have to do with you? absolute resolution. Let me hurry. I'm going to get this last point in. Sarah, behold, I've given thy brother. He calls her thy brother. That's what you said. He's my brother. She's my sister. Well, let me tell you what I gave your brother. 1,000 pieces of silver. He is to thee a covering of thy eyes unto all that are with thee and with all other. Thus she was reproved. The word reproved means she was righted. She was made right. I'm giving you this gift, Sarah. But I want this gift to serve as a veil. A veil over your eyes for what you shouldn't be looking at. And a veil over your face for who shouldn't be looking at you. Now you let everybody know, ma'am, wherever you go, you married. You married, which means you're taken. And you let your eyes know, ma'am, you're married. So everybody else is off limits. Let me say to all the marriages here, for free, on a Wednesday night, won't cost you a registration, won't cost you a hotel room, and we won't even call it a couple's retreat. May God help you to love your wife and to love your husband and to love God enough to have a veil over your eyes that says you belong to him, he belongs to you, you're taken, and everybody else is off limits. And as it pertains to anything besides marriage, may every situation that God's providence and preservation gets us out of, may it serve as a veil to say, now that God rescued me from this, amen, let me do right so I'm not back here again. Amen. I need a veil. When you look at those sheep and you look at those servants and you look at that silver, which was rare in those days, Abimelech gave him silver. He says to Sarah, this gift I gave to Abraham, let it serve as a reminder. By the way, that's why memory lane is good. Paul said, don't look back and regret your failures, but it is good to look back and rehearse God's blessings for all the times that God has shown up. Let it not serve as motivation to keep trying to get away with it, but let it serve as a reminder, he was so good to me then, let me be good to him now. And then there's what I call assumed repentance. It's not in the text, but we can conclude it because of enough scripture that God said, whoso confesseth and forsaketh shall have mercy. And I have no doubt in my mind that although the Bible doesn't write it explicitly, that just as Abimelech got right by giving Sarah his wife back, I believe Abraham got right. You say, why do you believe Abraham got right? Because in the next verse, God heard his prayer. And the Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So even though it's not written, Abraham's confession is not written all in this passage of scripture, we have enough in the Bible to believe and to understand Abimelech got right and Abraham got right. And that tells me that when you're wrong, you need to get right too. And then lastly, there was diligent prayer, righteous compassion, and resulting consequences. This is challenging to me. Abraham prayed for Abimelech. Whew. Watch this now. Abraham's sin stood in the way of Abimelech's progress. Now watch this now. The child of God was wrong. The sinner was spared. The child of God got right. Amen. And the sinner was helped. Wait a minute. I can't help a lost man if I don't live like I'm a saved man. Amen. Now wait a minute. You may have lost family members that you've got aught with. You get right with them. And maybe when you get right with them, God will hear your prayer concerning them. Now watch this now. Abraham did wrong. Abimelech did wrong unknowingly because Abraham did wrong knowingly. His ignorant sin still led to consequences. You can smoke cigarettes and not know they're wrong, but that don't mean you won't get canceled. Amen. I mean, you can turn on red and not know that you're not, we're not supposed to. That doesn't mean you're not going to get a ticket. Amen. You can go fast and not be paying attention. That doesn't mean you won't get in an accident. Now, God merits his consequences based on how much we know. But here's Abraham. Watch this now. As long as Abraham was out of the will of God, he could not help Abimelech. Do you ever think, this convicts me. My doing right is not just for me. My doing right is to position me to be able, through God, to help somebody else. Now watch this now. He sinned by lying. Abimelech messed up by taking his wife. And because Abimelech had Abraham's wife, because Abraham says she was his sister, God shut up the womb of Abimelech's household. They couldn't have any kids. Abimelech wasn't on standing with God to get help from God because he didn't know God. Abraham was in standing with God because he belonged to God, but he was out of fellowship with God because he sinned. I'm trying to close this message. But some people need to get right with God tonight. So when you get up tomorrow morning and pray for people that you're burdened for, God actually picks up the phone. Now, a few moments ago, we called names on this list. For people, many of them, who are not in good enough standing with God to feel they can call. How sad it would be for people to phone in prayer requests on a Wednesday night and to discover that the people on their knees at Crossroads Baptist Church were praying for them, but they had no cell service because spiritually they neglected to pay their bill. You want a connection with God? You come to the altar tonight and you settle your account. You pay your bill and get your service turned back on. And maybe between now and next week, one of them lost people you're praying for will get an answer from God because you got right enough with him so he could hear. Somebody help me. This helps me. We're praying for our children. We're praying for our loved ones. We're praying for people to get saved. And sometimes God can't answer our prayer for other people until we get right with him. We should have learned it the last time, the first time, the time before. For heaven's sake, if we didn't, let's learn it now. Father, help us. I pray, God, that you will bless our invitation time, move in our midst, and make a difference. In Jesus' name, amen.